That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
I think my spin just got me.
Ugh. Doing that exercise, girl.
What a dummy.
Wow.
I'm trying to maybe just lose a couple pounds before the murder ladies are in town.
Before the murder ladies are in town.
Our good, good murder
Wait,
ladies.
That's like two. I guess you could lose a couple pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's not too bad.
I went to spin last Friday, and then Sunday, and then Tuesday, and then today. And so
the dedication.
Dedications. Like two or three times a week, yeah. For the last couple weeks.
Wow.
Just, you know.
Just, you know, I'm doing it.
I think you're supposed to exercise, like, as a human.
You are. I feel pretty shitty if I don't, like, stretch and do stuff for a couple days, actually, because, like, I walk around a lot.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in great shoes. But if I remember to do a little bit of yoga, then I don't feel like I'm literally falling apart.
It's so important, yeah.
So important to not fall apart, you guys.
You guys, let's talk about, like, health and being your best self.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine if that's the shit we talked about?
Jesus.
But for real.
Speaking of which, I ate a lot of pizza, half of which had ranch dressing as the base.
I'm going to have pizza later today.
Oh, yum. I might,
so
too.
Good.
Who knows?
Gonna have some more,
maybe.
Christy, you're almost 30. Just get ready.
I'm okay. Already ready. I feel like
you're gonna break down and you're gonna have to start exercising and eating your veggies.
I hate it. I like one day I really literally just ate like shit, like the whole day. Mm-hmm. And it was like to the point where like I wanted to make a joke, but I thought it would be a little too offensive. But you know that you know that phrase that like really waifish supermodel made in the 90s that was like, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Right.
Like now I think maybe that it's true, but what it means is like when you eat things that do taste good, you feel like you're going to shit yourself in the middle of your shift at work. Like
that's what she meant.
That's
sure.
What she meant. Like things do taste as good as skinny feels, but then you're going to feel like you're going to poop.
But only for a second. Yeah. And then the ramifications hit.
Right. Yeah. You just got to find a balance because I can't do just not balancing anything in my life anymore.
True. Everything in moderation, including moderation, Christy.
Including pizza. mostly just cheese. Like that's the only thing I've noticed. It's just like, hey, maybe don't have all of your meals include a cup full of cheese.
Cheese fucks me up. I'm really not supposed to have dairy.
Yeah.
But mine's like more milk than cheese, but
yeah.
Still. Like I said, I'm going to have pizza later.
Pizza later.
Clearly, I just don't care.
Yeah. Some people can eat cheese.
Must be nice. I bet you're in your early 20s or you're a teenager if you can still eat dairy.
Sometimes I think about that. Like some people just eat like shit all the time. Like they must just feel like death. Like, or do you get used to it?
I don't know.
Like not even one vegetable.
Yeah,
like
I don't
all
know.
Your food is snacks and beer. Like, how do you function? Or are you just like wandering the world just pooping your pants?
Or not pooping at all.
Yeah, maybe that's the secret.
Is that the secret? That's what that book's about?
Yeah, the secret.
It's about not pooping.
Not pooping at all. I just don't even understand it. Like, I can't go a day without being like, my body's falling apart.
In high school, I was one of those shitty vegetarians that didn't eat vegetables, but also didn't eat meat. So I only ate carbs and dairy. So it was like macaroni and cheese, Pop-Tarts, French fries. That's it. And I was somehow fine. But then
young.
But then again, I'm always talking about how in my late 20s and now that I'm 30, like nothing works. My body's falling apart. I have to eat vegetables and drink water. Otherwise, I truly cannot function.
Yeah.
So it all caught up to me eventually. And I have to go to spin 2 to 3 times a week because I need exercise.
Exercise. Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point where, like, wandering around and being young is not enough. You have to be like, shit, I have to work out my muscles or they'll stop functioning.
Correct.
I'll be 40 and I just won't have any, like, musculature that moves my body around.
Wandering around and being young isn't enough anymore. I miss when that was enough. Let's just stop being humans. Let's shed these body bags filled with meat and bones, and let's become, I don't know, aren't there like some kind of creature we can become?
Sure, like a lizard person or a skeleton or dead.
Death is always an option. Hear it, that's weird.
Just keeping it on the table makes me feel a lot more comfortable. You know what I mean?
You always have an out, you know?
It's true.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Hello, welcome to our morbid podcast. Oh yeah, hi, by the way, I'm Ashley.
I'm Christy.
We both live in Seattle, but I work in Portland during the week, and so I'm going to have to be there on Halloween again this year. I had to be there in Halloween by myself last year because it's a Wednesday, and Christy decided to come down and hang out with me.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Me too. I don't know. Am I more excited for the vegan barbecue or drinking and watching the that movie with the witches?
Oh yeah, we're going to see Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus
at this really cool old theater, and they're going to be serving like spooky cocktails. And yeah, we're going to eat a shit ton of vegan food and just live our best weird lives.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun. Don't worry. We'll post highlights, I'm sure.
I plan on just doing a straight up live feed of me eating barbecue.
Ooh.
Maybe not. But no. Now I might.
I really want you to do that. If not on our account, then on your personal
account. Absolutely.
I will film it for you.
Thank God. I'm going to bring my camera tripod just for that.
We recently did a thank you thread on Twitter to all of our patrons. But I also wanted to give shout outs to Pamela, Nessie, Karia, and Shane, our big time weirdos on Patreon.
Ooh.
Thank you guys so much for your support. Again, we are planning some fun videos and things for you this month because it's spooky season. And we may or may not have just filmed one today.
Wow.
So stay tuned for that. If you want to become a patron and get stickers and buttons and access to our weird minisodes and videos, you can join at patreon.com/thatsweird. Boom, Christy.
Wow. You did it.
I did it.
You did it.
Usually I read Christy an iTunes review.
Oh, yeah.
And I always forget that we get them from other countries, but you have to like change your URL to see them.
No way.
So I found one from Canada that isn't mean, because we do have a mean one from Canada.
Oh.
This one says, yes. While searching for a new podcast, I stumbled upon That's Weird. One word. Yes. It's weird. It's quirky. It's insert swear word. Amazing. Now go listen. That's from Gandalf_12588.
Oh, amazing.
Right?
We got somebody. First of all, our Facebook group is really fun.
It's so much
fun.
And
people post in there all the time, and I love seeing those. And also, somebody posted something really nice about us in there. They were just like, basically like, hi, this is the best. This is should be a review. I'm going to do that now. Okay, I did it. Okay, thanks, bye.
Oh, yeah, that was Micah, I think was his name. And he was telling us some like crazy amazing stories of growing up in Oregon.
That's right.
And like being close to the Rajneesh. And there's some like D.B. Cooper connection. You should find it. It's like That's Weird Podcast. It's a group on Facebook. We have links on our website, yeah. I believe, to it. But you should go join and
join our group.
Hang out with us and Micah. It's super cool. Okay. Episode.
We also steal ideas from them all the time.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to contribute to the podcast, feel free to just drop it in there. We might steal it. We'll let you know we're stealing it, yeah. To be fair. Episode 66. It's October. It's spooky season. I'm going to tell you about night crawlers.
Ooh!
Which are not... I mean, they are also worms.
Right. And also that really good movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. Did you see that?
Fuck, that's right. Nightcrawler is a great movie.
What a good movie. Honestly, like, I wasn't that into Jake Gyllenhaal until that movie, and it's unsettling.
Girl.
I know.
I mean, okay.
No,
I need,
for so many reasons.
I need...
He just did such a good job. He just did such a good job.
He's an incredible actor. You honestly, like, fried my brain a little bit. I was trying to be like...
Right.
I don't need to talk to Christy about Jake Gyllenhaal and Joaquin Phoenix again, but it's fine. Okay, so I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay.
Nightcrawlers. They're like a spooky looking, but probably harmless cryptid.
Oh.
Well, specifically, they're called like the Fresno Nightcrawler, because that's kind of where they originated. They're also referred to as a Fresno alien.
Oh.
They look like, so you know how, you know, around Halloween, people will put like tissues on lollipops and to make it look like a ghost.
Uh-huh.
They really look like that.
Are you sure it's not people putting tissues around lollipops?
That'd be a big ass lollipop, Christy.
Okay, sure.
But they really do look like that. But if like the hanging part at the bottom of the tissue was split into two legs.
Like little pants?
Yeah, like little pants. But like oh fabulous, God. Like you're on vacation, white flowy pants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are all white, except for like, I think they have little black eyes sometimes, which is kind of scary. And they're basically all legs. They have like a weird little pinhead. Very bizarre looking.
Their,
sure.
Their legs go all the way up. So.
They're the supermodels of cryptids.
Oh my God. So true.
They're also very rare. They've only been seen a handful of times. So night crawlers were first spotted again in Fresno, California in the 1990s. Reportedly, a family was having trouble with their dogs barking at something at night, which is always scary. Mm-hmm. Even though it's probably just a raccoon or something. So they put up a security camera to figure out what all the fuss was about. And when they watched it the next morning, what they found were night crawlers. The footage is like amazing. Have you seen this?
No.
I'm going to have to pull it up so you can watch it. It's all grainy and dark, but you see a couple palm trees off in the distance and like grass. And then you see these white floaty looking things, almost just like pants walking themselves. Truly
cute. I just can't, it just sounds like adorable.
It's very cute. They are probably the least scary cryptid possibly ever. Though I just remembered, you know those vines back when Vine was a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Of the kids that would wear like sweatpants all the way up to their chest and they'd put their arms in the leg holes?
Yeah.
That's really what it looks like so much.
Oh, my God.
Just like a whole body in a pair of sweatpants. Nightcrawlers are basically Vine stars before that was a thing.
Wow.
Because again, the 90s.
Amazing.
So the tape was given to the police, I guess, because the family was like, we don't know what the fuck that is. So we're just going to turn this in. And it was then released to the media. Though the family managed to stay anonymous, they wanted like absolutely nothing to do with this weird ass footage. And no one has come forward to say they were responsible, they were involved, it was a hoax. Like there is... nobody has any fucking idea what this was.
Uh-huh.
And then another nightcrawler video emerged in the 2000s, this time from Yosemite National Park security footage. In that video, again, there are two of them. They seem to travel in pairs, but they walk a little bit slower in that video. And it's kind of freaky to watch. That one is like really kind of scary to me.
Oh,
I have to show it to you right now because I just truly need you to...
You need the reaction.
I do.
To be recorded.
It's truly important to me.
Wow.
Good thing I had this ready. Just kidding.
Good thing I had it queued up and ready to go. And right. No.
Okay, this is from the first one.
Oh. I kind of don't like it.
Did it scare you?
No, but it just makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Like, oh. It makes me feel weird. I don't like it.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's not cute.
So I showed Christy the first video, and I'm going to find the Yosemite one and show her that one, too. Because I thought this one was scarier.
How do that?
It's so weird.
And also, oh, I hate it. You know what? It, like, moves like, it's just... it's more of that like scary clown imagery kind of where it's just like move slow like it's going to get ya and its pants are floofy.
100%. Yeah.
I hate it. It really makes me uneasy. Like
it's even though they're not like there's no reports of them like hurting anyone or doing anything, but it's just why are they walking around like that?
Ooh.
Just creepy looking.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. So yeah, I just needed to show that to Christy for her to understand just how truly weird they
now
look.
Now I get it. I will stop saying they're cute because they're not.
They sound cute.
They sound cute. When you think about it and when you picture it, it sounds cute. And then when you see it, it's like, ugh.
I mean, if you saw that, if that showed up on your like security camera, or if you were just out in the middle of the night,
I would move. Yeah. I'd burn my house down, collect the insurance, move to a different state.
Wow. You've got that plan ready to go.
Change my name, fake my death in the in the fire.
Blame it on those creatures.
Everything.
Nice.
Start a new life.
Damn, Christy.
I know.
If you are listening to this episode right now, our show notes should be up at thatsweird.org. So you can go look for yourself. Go watch the videos. I will make sure that they're there. A TV show called Fact or Faked examined one of the Nightcrawler videos and tried to recreate it several times in different scenarios, different locations, with all kinds of equipment. And they actually gave up. They claimed it was too difficult to fake and that the footage they deemed to be authentic. Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
So these creatures could possibly come from Native American legends. There are multiple statues and wood carvings that bear a striking resemblance to these beings, which Fresno locals have pointed out online. I saw a couple of the photos. It is pretty bizarre to see this like big wood statue that someone created, and it's just like the little pinhead and then these two long legs.
What?
It does really look like it.
Oh, wow.
So that's, of course, one theory, that it's some kind of folklore, myth, legend. Or most people think that they're aliens and that they just pop down every now and again to walk around like a bunch of creeps. I don't know. Like what? I don't know.
Just taking a stroll.
Just taking a little stroll on Earth. You know. Hanging out with some dogs at night.
I mean, fair. That's a good idea.
Enjoying the scenery without like humans around to bother them. And
so true.
Makes sense to me.
I get it. I'm on their team now.
Yeah. Okay. Team Nightcrawler.
Team Nightcrawler. Team Nightcrawler.
But that's, I mean, that's sort of it. There's only been a few sightings. Actually, I did read one about a like teenager that was driving in Indiana and saw something like that. But the only video footage is from those two instances. And who knows what the fuck they are, but I am like super excited for hopefully like another sighting of them. Hope like sometime soon.
Oh, spooky.
Because like 90s, 2000s. I don't know.
Do you think they show up once a decade?
It does seem like once every like 10 years.
Oh, we're running out of time.
Fuck. Well, I think the last one was maybe 2011.
Oh, okay. Oh, so like 3 more years.
I actually would, because I couldn't find an exact date for the one from the 1990s. But it'd be pretty wild.
So it was 1991?
1991. But then what about 2001? Maybe that was the teenager driving. We're making shit up at this point.
Yeah, we are.
Then 2021. I don't know.
Wow.
Perhaps they'll make contact. Nightcrawlers. Yeah, please go watch the video. Like, you just truly don't understand the spoopiness of them until you watch the video.
Wow.
That's weird.org. Do it.
Yeah, it really is. Like, ugh. I hated that.
You're like, they're so cute. Oh, I changed my mind.
I changed my mind. I did. Changed my mind entirely. All right. Well, cool.
What you got? What are you gonna talk about?
I got the Black Dahlia.
Ooh, truly spooky.
I love the Black Dahlia because I love that like film noir, like old Hollywood aesthetic. And to me, like when I think old Hollywood, I think like a young aspiring actress and the city just like literally eating her alive. And there's no better example.
I love that you love that.
Than the Black Dahlia. I love it.
It's kind of true, though. Yeah, it's a horrific cautionary tale in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's this happened in the late 40s.
Okay.
January 1947. I just have a note that I got distracted by. I love this case so much that I was willing to watch the entire video from BuzzFeed of just two obnoxious dudes talking about it in a car for some reason. That's how much I like this.
Nice.
Okay, so I did it for you. Okay. In January of 1947, 22-year-old Elizabeth Short was found murdered in Los Angeles. Some lady was taking a stroll in the morning and came across it. She thought at first that it was a mannequin, actually.
That's never a mannequin.
But it was a human. This crime attracted national attention. And it's known, like, as one of the maybe the first, like, national famous crime, like, post-war crime, basically. So it's sort of like a new era sort of feeling to it, and I think that's also part of it. But mostly why it attracted such major attention is because it was, like, so brutal.
Yeah.
Like, you have this, like, young, beautiful woman, and she is fucking torn apart. And I can put a picture of this in the notes. A lot of the pictures don't really show that much because they're, like, far away and old-timey pictures. You can get a sense of what happened. But so her body was drained of blood. She looked like a mannequin to that lady. She was beaten and cut all over. And she had been cut in half.
Fuck.
And she was naked and posed with her arms up above her head and then the lower half of her body, like, a little bit away, and her legs spread out, and her intestines were, like, neatly tucked under her butt. So, like, you couldn't, it wasn't like, I think that's also part of why that lady thought that she was a mannequin. She just looked like a mannequin that had been, like, you know, thrown out and, like, fell apart.
And devoid of blood, she would have probably been, like, so pale looking. That's horrifying that someone took the time to pose her like that and not think that they were going to get caught. Like, right. They really took time to...
Ashley, they didn't.
What?
They didn't get caught?
No, I know. It's God. This is, like, one of the greatest unsolved mysteries.
I know. Her official cause of death is a cerebral hemorrhage from violence. So she was dead before all of this other stuff happened to her, thank God.
Yeah. Oh.
Even the, like, just, I don't even understand, like, somebody, like, hit her over the head, which killed her, and then after that, they just, like, haphazardly just, like, cut her body all over, and then they cut her in half. And one thing I learned was there's only one point on your spine that can be cut, that you can cut the body in half without breaking the bone. And they used to teach it in medical school in the 30s for some reason.
Wait, so you could cut the body in half without severing the spine?
You have to sever the spine to cut the body in half. But there's only one place on the spine, like in the lower lumbar area, that you can cut it without breaking the bone.
Interesting.
Like if you wanted to cut someone in half. And you did it anywhere else.
Like, that would be the easiest place to do it?
Or you weren't a doctor and you didn't know, like, this is the spot where you can just sever the spine in half and that's where you separate it. If you didn't know that, then they would have broken one of her vertebrae, cutting her in half, getting a knife big enough to cut in there.
Ugh.
Basically.
Yikes.
I don't know why they taught this in medical school, but they taught it in medical school, how to cut somebody in half without breaking the bone.
Oh, good. I'm trying to think of another. Why would you need to do that other than, like, for cadavers?
Right. I mean, maybe for cadavers.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so it's, like, a super fucked up, like, display and, like, clinical.
Yeah.
In ways. So, yeah, I mean, definitely a really fucked up thing to, like, run into. The name, the Black Dahlia, was given as, like, there's a lot of, like, sources for it, and they say, like, maybe people called her that before, maybe it was because of dahlias that she wore in her hair, but I think that the real thing is the media was really, like, getting salacious with it, and so they called her the Black Dahlia, partly as a playoff of, like, a popular noir murder mystery film called The Blue Dahlia that came out, like, just before that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
that makes sense. That, yeah. They, like, I don't know, thought of the movie. I wonder what that movie's about.
It's The Blue Dahlia is, like, a restaurant in the movie that people are, there's just, you know, intrigue and people getting murdered and interpersonal relationships, and they're meeting up at the Blue Dahlia, and that's why it's called that,
right?
Because it's, like, the center of everything. But so she was called the Black Dahlia because they were like, oh, like, she's wearing, like, a sheer top and a tight skirt and all black, she's the Black Dahlia because it's catchy. And they, like, were just constantly nicknaming, like, crimes,
of course. Yeah, to sell newspapers back in the day.
Exactly. This case is notorious for, like, the LAPD were notoriously corrupt at the time.
Yikes.
And like, there's a game called LA Noir that's like about this time, and you get to like solve the case.
Oh, that's right.
It's really fun. The game is just okay, but like, I'm so into the aesthetic that I just love the game anyway.
You actually get to solve the Black Dahlia case?
You do.
That's wild.
It might be a DLC, I'm not sure, but like, the game's been out for so long that like, you can pay $5 and just get all of it.
Wait, who does it in the game?
Like, I don't remember. Some random dude that's connected with some other case, I think.
Isn't that always how it goes? It's some random dude connected to some other case.
Exactly. So, you know, the police station is notoriously corrupt, and the newspapers are fucking up. Like, they're just getting involved in the case and like fucking shit up before they can get like official statements and like collect things. They're just like really getting involved in it, and also like just trying to sell it as this like sex fiend murderer. And like, they my favorite thing is they called her an adventuress, which, yes, please put that in my obituary.
Love it.
I would love to be an adventuress. I guess that means that she was sleeping around or something. I don't know. It just painted this picture of her as if she was this like desperate, like beautiful woman who's like also a sex worker and just like trying to like just like hooking up with like men, trying to sleep her way into Hollywood and like doing whatever it takes. Wink, whatever. Like that kind of a person.
I hate that kind of salacious like gossip that newspapers and magazines do, especially when it like you're talking about a victim of a crime.
Right. People ate that shit up.
Of course. I'm sure it helped them sell copies, but it's fucked
up. So many. And I think that's also part of why it's like so iconic, I guess, for that like image of the like actress trying to do whatever she can to be an actress in Hollywood and then getting fucked over. Only in this case, she's just like horrifyingly murdered.
Yeah, she met like the wrong casting director.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. And like, so when she died, before her mom lived in like Boston or somewhere like that. Before her mom was able to find out that she died, the LA Examiner called her and told her that her daughter had won a beauty contest.
What?
They called her mom, told her mom that she won a... I think this is... It's, like, notorious for that, too. This case is notorious for all kinds of things, but, like...
for everything.
Just, like, it's, like, a landmark thing in terms of, like, journalistic ethics. Mm-hmm. Because they called her mom and lied to her and said that her daughter had won a beauty contest so that they could interview her mom about her. And in that interview, she found out that her daughter died, horrifyingly. And they just used all of that to sell newspapers.
What the fuck? I mean, how dumb do you have to be? Like, they, like, came up with a ruse so that they could call her, and then they accidentally let it slip that, like, oh, and by the way, she was murdered. What?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
Or maybe they didn't. I didn't, like, read the article they wrote after that. I just know they called her mom and told her something good happened to her daughter so that they could get an interview about her daughter with her. And then, after that... she obviously had to find out that her daughter was, like, murdered in a, like, crazy, horrific way.
Right.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So, not relevant, but this is, like, a weird fact about her. Like, probably because they were able to interview her mom before she knew she was dead, we know a lot of, like, facts about her life. Mm-hmm. So, her dad was presumed to be dead. Like, he, like, left when she was about six and, like... but actually he just left when she was six and started a new life. And she thought he was dead for like her whole life. And then Whoa. He sent her an apology letter when she was 18 and was like, sorry. And so then she moved in with him in because he lived in California. I wonder if she wanted to be an actress so bad that she was like, well, my dad lives in California and he's alive. I guess I'll make up with him and so I can move in with him.
Yeah, makes sense.
And but later, shock. They argued too much, so she moved out. And she started working at an Air Force base where she got arrested. She got arrested for underage drinking, and she got some sweet mug shots where she looks like Gina Davis.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And that's like, and I, that's the photo that you see of her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when she's like way younger. Anyway, so eventually she moved to LA for about 6 months, and then she got murdered.
Fuck.
She'd only been there for 6 months. She was described as an aspiring actress. Right before she died, she returned from a trip to like San Diego that she took with a married salesman that she was dating. And he dropped her off at like a fancy hotel. And
interesting.
Yeah. And that guy like hasn't gotten investigated at all. Or like he was ruled out pretty quick or something. Like he's not a main focus of it. And I would think like, number one, this guy.
The married boyfriend.
The married boyfriend.
Who's rich?
I don't know if he's rich. He's a traveling salesman.
He's oh, right. I just remember a boat. I just assumed he was rich.
Yeah, she was dropped off in front of a hotel, and she was found murdered near there because she, I think maybe was staying there or something. I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay.
So shortly after she got murdered and found, the LA Examiner, again, got a call, and the person who called told them to expect some of her belongings.
What?
Right? Like, her death goes public, and then they get a call from someone and is like, expect something in the mail for you and all the media. They actually did get something in the mail. They got a creepy letter about her, and also, like, her birth certificate and her social security card and like a purse and like her belongings, like certifiably her belongings. They had them.
What the fuck?
And mailed them there. And they had used gasoline to remove fingerprints from all of it. So you couldn't get it.
Today I learned gasoline can remove fingerprints.
Yeah, right?
What?
I know. Yeah. So that's kind of the case. And there's like related cases that some people have tried to like make connections to, including even the Zodiac Killer.
Of course, he's responsible for everything.
For everything. I mean, there was a letter.
Oh, I see.
But I don't think. I mean, wasn't that even like the wrong era?
Yes.
So, yeah. So like there's one like bigger one that I want to talk about, but there's a couple minor ones. There's one murder that's been associated with it like a month that later that happened where she wasn't exactly posed in the same way, but she was naked and beat up and near the same hotel. And she had somebody who wrote in lipstick on her like, fuck you, BD. I'm mentioning this mainly because this part was in the game that I played.
Oh, wow.
Where you got to solve it, and it was related in the story of the game. I don't think it's actually related, but it says, fuck you, BD, and then Tex. And nobody figured that one out either, but also somebody who was like a crime writer, historian, said, what if instead of saying, fuck you, BD, like, fuck you, Black Dahlia, it was, fuck you, PD, like, obviously, fuck you, police department.
Oh, right.
Which makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And there's also one about, so there, one of the prime suspects was a bellhop who was a former mortician's assistant.
Interesting.
Or one of his associates who trained as a surgeon but dropped out.
Also interesting.
There's one other guy that worked with him as well. And I guess they had a scheme going on where they were robbing hotels, which is weird because her and that other lady were right next to the hotel.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking like maybe she found out too much about their hotel robbing scheme and one of those dudes killed her and had the training to have the clinical efficiency of doing that fucked up thing. But I feel like you have to be like really fucked up and like want to send a message to do something like that, not just be like, oh shit, better quiet her.
Right. That I don't know if it was that.
Yeah.
She did something to someone, like to the wrong, like really fucked up person. And so they went to all of this trouble as a way of like getting back at her. Or it was just someone who had some like sick desire to do that to a person and they chose her.
Right. Yeah. Or like, you know, maybe somebody like that was like, if she's trying to get into like Hollywood circles, there's like some kind of socialite type dude that she's trying to get with who does shit like that. Who knows?
Yeah. But it is really, I like that there are sort of related cases because it's really hard to believe that that only happened once, that that person only killed one time.
Yeah. And another like promising thing was, and I feel like I want to do one on this one too, the Cleveland Torso murderer.
Oh, shit.
But I don't think so. But the police even had like a connection to it where they were like so convinced that they almost arrested the guy that was a suspect for that. But it was, it's like the opposite. It's the opposite way. Like she was intact except cut in half and she was killed by a blow to the head. And the torso murderer, for the most part, leaves the torso alone, hence the name torso murderer.
Right.
And most of the death, the cause of death is like beheadings while they were alive.
Fucking gee, why? God.
Right?
Gross.
Right.
No.
So.
Christy, that makes my neck hurt.
I know. I want to do that one. That one some other time, I think.
Did they catch a person for that?
I don't think they did. They had a suspect. God.
So it's still okay.
It'll be. I didn't look too much into it. I just sort of scanned like what the modus operandi was.
Nice.
Using those words. anyway.
Using those words.
Those are the like some main theories. Also, there's a lady that says her dad did it, but
interesting. I've said that people like so many times.
Say that's like, there's no reason why she should think that. Basically, she just wrote a book and said that her dad did it.
She's like, I fucking hate my dad. I bet he did this.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Same.
All right. So the theory that I want to talk about, the final theory is, so there's a detective, Sergeant John P. St. John, who worked on this case until his retirement.
What a great name.
Right? It's a good name. He has a he's got a quote that says, "It's amazing how many people offer up a relative as the killer." Because people, since it was so famous, like a lot of people confessed or like said like, "Oh yeah, like my shitty uncle did it," or whatever. But it's ironic because it seems like the most promising theory is now from a retired LAPD cop who says his dad did it.
What?
Right? It is, so it's kind of wild, and it is a little bit too convenient, but it also kind of makes sense.
It does?
Yeah. So, this guy's name is Steve Hodel, and he was a detective at Los Angeles Police Department, and he was a homicide detective.
I like the way you say homicide.
How do you say homicide?
I say homicide.
Oh.
You sound British.
Homicide, Basil, Herb,
Aluminium.
Wow.
So he was a detective at the time when she was murdered?
He wasn't a detective at the time. He was a child.
Oh. Wait, what?
Okay, so there's a... Let me just start over.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a modern day man who's a crime writer right now. He's old. He's in his 70s. And his name is George Hodel.
Okay.
And what he did as a job was a homicide detective at the LAPD. And his father, George, was a doctor during the time that Elizabeth Short got murdered.
Ah, I see. I see. Okay.
And also apparently a really shitty dad. He left for the Philippines when Steve was 9 years old. And one day, as an adult, when Steve was going through his shit, he found a box of photos, which included normal family photos, some photos taken by famous surrealist photographer and family friend Man Ray, which I think is just so Hollywood.
Yeah, what?
And also a few pictures of Elizabeth Short.
Like, before she was murdered?
Before she was murdered. This weird, like, connection. Like, why the fuck does he have photos of this woman?
But, like, photos he took?
I don't know. Just he has photos like what like it's, in the before there's the internet.
Right. So like he did. Well, I'm
why would you
like,
have why would you have random photos of a like headshots of a murdered woman Just in your closet, hidden away.
That's true.
So that's a weird personal connection.
It is.
He happened to be a homicide detective already by then, so he started detecting. That's what my notes say.
Incredible notes, Christy. Incredible.
Thank you. Some people kind of don't believe him because this seems like really fucking convenient that he happened to live his entire life as a homicide detective. And then when he started getting ready to retire, he found this personal connection to his shitty dad that he hated and a murder that was very famous.
And he became a crime reporter?
And he became a crime writer.
Writer. So, yeah, he needs a really good story to write about.
Right. And he is, like, kind of borderline obsessed about this case.
Well, I guess if you really, really thought it was your dad.
Yeah, I mean, true. Okay, so, yeah, I told you about the one place that your body can be cut in half without breaking the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And they did teach that in medical school while his dad was learning to be a doctor. So he would know how to do that.
Okay.
And the handwriting in the creepy letter in the papers looked a lot like George Hodel, his father, the father's writing. The doctor dad's handwriting looked suspiciously like the creepy letter that was sent to the papers.
This is all good stuff.
It's all good shit. And so, and that's just kind of a start of it, because this man has been cataloging evidence against his dad for 15 years. He's written 4 books about it. He's basically convinced, and he has an ongoing blog, but he's convinced, like, his dad killed Elizabeth Short and maybe other people.
Wow.
And he filed a Freedom of Information Act to get information from the FBI about the case. And his dad was a suspect, and they did bug his house.
Holy shit.
So he has like a transcript of like there's a transcript of a lady screaming and like later talking to somebody about like people. It just sounded like he murdered somebody. He was like, you know, nothing else to do. Killed her. Like, that's it.
Wait, from bugging the house, they heard a woman screaming.
Yeah.
And then there's a transcript of that. But they did not run into the house to see what was happening. I guess I don't know the police protocol on bugging someone's house, hearing something suspicious and being able to enter.
Yeah.
But
well, maybe they wanted a confession. I don't know.
What the fuck?
Also, I've got this gem of a quote that the doctor dad said.
Doctor dad.
I guess the FBI files around the wiretapping, he's literally talking to someone and he says, supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia. I think he knows he's a suspect. So he says, supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia. They couldn't prove it now. This is like in 1950 something.
Wow.
They couldn't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary because she's dead. Like, why would you say that? Like, why would you be like, oh, well, my secretary's fucking dead now. So they can't get anything out of her. They couldn't prove anything. That's not really quite, I didn't do it. It's just,
why the fuck would they talk to your secretary anyway?
To get in, I mean, maybe his secretary would know, like, personal information or his whereabouts or, like, know of a personal connection to Elizabeth Short.
How odd. That is a very suspicious response. Like, it's an unnecessary.
Right.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
That guy did it, Christy.
I know. and even a guy who worked at the LAPD, it's the only self-investigated case or like ancillary like theory that the someone in the LA district attorney's office has acknowledged at all and been like, yeah, I mean, sure. That said, like a lot of other people think like a lot of his evidence is circumstantial and that he's a little too obsessed with it. And that maybe like he's made his life about this. So it's gotta be grandiose kind of. So he's making stuff up. And I think that too, like, I still kind of like, did both his dad murder true. People? Yes. Did he murder Elizabeth Short? Probably / maybe. And, but what he's also said is like, he's proposed that his dad killed other people, including a woman who was found dead near where he was living in. So when he
he moved to the Philippines, the dad, when this investigator was nine. So he found like a murder that he felt was similar in Manila near to where his dad was living.
Oh,
later on.
Interesting. Okay.
So he just murdered somebody else and nobody gave a shit because it was in the Philippines in the 50s.
Fuck. I believe him. I believe that his dad is the killer.
That said, he's also even gone so far as to propose that his dad was the Zodiac killer.
Oh, come on.
And that's a little much. I think he definitely slipped into obsession and like...
Yeah. He had some really valid points there.
Right.
Like at first I was like, no, he just wants to write a book. And then I was like, oh no, he... Okay, yeah, I believe him.
Like his dad absolutely murdered somebody. The people in the BuzzFeed video said he couldn't get a warrant to investigate his dad's old house because people live there. But he got... some kind of like a super sniffy dog to like sniff out the area, and it did like smell like corpses, like maybe not Elizabeth's.
Oh, a cadaver dog like smelled remains.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've said interesting like 20 times while you've been talking,
but it wasn't enough evidence to get a warrant, and so technically the case remains closed because it was just, it's been too long, so they just closed it.
But still unsolved.
Yeah, but nobody cares. Like all her relatives are dead now.
Fuck. We care. I want to know.
I care too. Yeah.
Jesus.
So that's it.
I just have a hard time imagining that whoever did that didn't kill a bunch of other people. But why didn't they kill him in like the same way? Like, I feel like if you're going to go to those lengths to like drain someone of blood,
right,
cut them a certain way, like then you dump them and display them in a certain way, like that is all so particular. Like, how do you not do that again unless you like died or were sent to prison and you couldn't do it
or moved to the Philippines,
right?
And then did it again.
He did it. Allegedly. We don't actually know. Nobody sue us. Are they all dead?
Probably.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild.
That's so scary. The black doll. I didn't know a lot of those like, of course I've heard of it, but I didn't know a lot of those details.
Yeah. That's me scary. Too.
Are you gonna post the really gross photos in your show notes?
I didn't come across any really gross photos.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
The one with her face is rough.
Oh god, I forgot about that. I didn't even fucking mention it. That's like the most famous and also worst part.
I know.
So she got, yeah, she got cut. Her face was cut from like mouth to ear on both sides, like the Joker.
Like the fucking Joker. Like the
fucking Joker. It's called a Glasgow smile, by the way.
Ugh, it has a name?
It's got a name.
Oh, God.
People get that done to them and survive and just go through life with a scar that looks like a horrible smile.
Oh, that's
terrible. The photo on Wikipedia for Glasgow smile is just a dude who's alive with a scar like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucked up.
That's intense.
I know.
Ugh. Poor Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
Or Elizabeth Short, her real name.
Right. I mean, I'm glad she was dead before that stuff happened to her. Can you fucking imagine?
True. So she probably died of head trauma then. You said there was a...
Yeah, that's what they said was her official cause of death.
That's rough.
Yeah.
And terrible.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about something else that's gross and disgusting?
Yeah!
So your weird fact... I'm gonna tell you about rat kings.
Oh god, no, no, no.
It's spooky season, Christy.
Is it real?
Rat kings are real.
I thought it was just something that people made up because it sounded horrifying.
No.
God damn it.
It's unfortunately a very real thing. So if you're not familiar, a rat king is a disgusting and sad phenomenon that's created when a large group of rats become fused together by their tails, sometimes with dirt, hair, blood, even feces. It's truly gross. And they get stuck like that and die, obviously.
I hate that.
The most rats ever found fused together was 32.
No.
That's a big ass rat king.
I hate it.
32. Ugh.
I will never forget finding out what a rat king was.
Where you were the first time.
And then later watching a version of the Nutcracker,
mm-hmm.
where the rat, there's a rat king, right? Uh-huh. As the bad guy, because they're small. where the rat king was portrayed not as just a dude in a
dumb rat costume with a crown on it, but as multiple people dancing together.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ew, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Also, rat kings are seen as a bad omen.
God, fucking, of course they are.
And usually associated with plagues, obviously.
Because how do you get that many? Like, imagine how many rats have to be in one place for rats to get fused together. Like, too many rats. Like, more than 32. There's got to be, like, hundreds of rats to be so close together that just statistically some of them get stuck.
Too many rats.
I hate it. Oh, it makes me want to throw up. I hate it.
It's pretty gross. But yeah, no, they're real. I mean, hopefully they don't happen very often, but I don't know.
It literally makes me want to puke right now.
Something else that's scary is while for most of your story, I watched a spider go across the ceiling, down this fucking wall, hopefully into that closet.
Oh, but my God.
I put my feet up on the bar here because...
You didn't fucking warn me?
Well, you were telling your story. I didn't want to stop you to be like, there's a spider. Because it's far enough away that he's not going to get us unless he's on the floor now.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have cared. He's okay. He's fine.
He wasn't necessarily big enough to create a lot of alarm, but I was scared the whole time.
Just a little, not alarm, but a little suspense.
We take Halloween very seriously at this house, okay? We have real spiders crawling around. Maybe there's a rat king in that closet. You don't know.
Oh, God. Okay, great.
Great.
What a fact.
Good stuff. Hey, that's episode 66. Feel free to check out our show notes at thatsweird.org. But beware, there will be photos of the Black Dahlia on there.
And those spooky linen pants ladies.
I love that they're ladies. Yeah, I'll put the Nightcrawler videos on there. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at That's Weirdcast.
That's right.
You can rate, review, subscribe. I mean, if you're feeling fancy and you like us.
Wow.
That'd be great.
Wonderful.
Have a great rest of your October until we talk to you next time, which will also be in October.
That's right. We have so much October left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Best month, best season. Yeah, we've got our exciting, we've got the My Favorite Murder show coming up.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Our ladies are going to be back in Seattle, so we're going to go see them. We're going to have our Halloween spooktacular adventure in Portland to talk to you about.
Portland extravaganza.
The extravaganza. And maybe some other exciting surprises.
Ooh.
So stay tuned.
Yay.
Okay, bye.
Oh, didn't see you there. I'm Molly.
And I'm Jen.
And we're Rosemary's Ladies, a podcast where we eat snacks, drink adult beverages, and review movies, the good and the bad. Previous reviews include Deep Blue Sea, Poltergeist, Leprechaun, and 1998's Godzilla. You can tune in on iTunes, Spotify, and most popular podcast apps.
And for Pete's sake, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and check us out at rosemarysladies.com, where you can submit movies for us to review.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sophie.
We're two broads talking politics.
We're working moms in the Midwest.
Who love politics.
We're progressive activists.
Worried about the future of our country for our kids.
On Two Broads Talking Politics, we talk to activists and authors and veterans and students and reporters and nonprofit directors and candidates. Lots of candidates.
On Wednesdays, we do deep dives into issues like the opioid crisis or gun violence or reproductive justice or religion or the politics of a particular state. And on Fridays, I profile an individual or three.
So if you like talking politics or just want to be hopeful about the country again, check out Two Broads Talking Politics.
We're at twobroadstalkingpolitics.com, or you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are found.